So in the story, the last time we were together, Pastor Kevin did a great job last week, but the week when I was here, remember we talked about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, as he watched God's children marched out of Jerusalem. And now we fast forward 70 years and something amazing happens. It's time to come home. God, because he loved his people so much, absolutely frustrated them, stopped them in their plans, caused all kinds of things to come into their lives. Why? Because they chose against God's way. They chose against God, and God didn't want it to be confusing to the people around them that this is how you serve God. You do whatever you want to do. That's never been how it is to serve God. It's God's way, and it wasn't their way, and so God frustrated them. But what's crazy, God loves them so much that 70 years later, he uses a pagan king to bring them back home. When you read in the story this week, it's all about, it's time to come home. It's time to come back to what God has for you. This is what the scripture says in Ezra. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord fulfilled the prophecy he had given through Jeremiah. 70 years earlier, God spoke through this weeping prophet, and now it's time for that prophecy to be fulfilled. He stirred the heart of King Cyrus to put this proclamation in writing, and he sent it throughout his kingdom. This is what the king of Persia says. The Lord God, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build him a temple at Jerusalem, which is Judea. And remember, this is significant because this is the line in which Jesus comes from. Any of you who are his people may go to Jerusalem in Judea to rebuild the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives in Jerusalem, and may God be with you. I love this because once again, God says, my whole plan is to have a relationship with you. That's the same then and it is now. And I like what Paul said because of that relationship. Then we're going to talk about Costa Rica. This is what it says. We, if you know Jesus Christ today, here's what that's about. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Jesus when we plead, come back to God. Wow. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right through Christ. In the Old Testament, God said, please follow me. And they chose not to, and he frustrated them. But he said, I need you back. In the New Testament, God allowed his own son to die for us so that we could be his representatives. And we talk about missions three ways at Hope Church. Mission at home, local, national missions, which means missions in the U.S. We do local missions, missions in the U.S. And then to be balanced, we do missions in other parts of the world. Well, I want you to hear a little bit of what God did through us in Costa Rica. And the purpose of our trip really was to say the same message. Come on home. Come on home. God has a plan for you. So Pastor Zach, if you'll kind of lead us into what we're going to talk about today, that'd be great.
Got it? Ooh, it's a little hot. So what we're going to kind of do, I'm going to walk us through the four different mission days that we had, and you got to see that in the video with the four different areas that we went to. I'm going to walk through each of those days and kind of have these guys share as they would like and interject in a couple spots. First thing I want to mention, you kept your composure super well. Asher jumped off the stage, landed like a spider monkey, crawled to the back, and then flew out the door. I don't, just like maybe that side of the room saw that. I have no idea how you, I think an adult should try that and just to see if they land. One other thing, you know, it was great. It was my first time to Costa Rica. Absolutely loved it and the stuff we were able to do, but there were a couple casualties. Okay. Here's the first one. Aaron, who's right over here, he tried to join one of the gangs while we were there. He's an elder in our church as well. Pastor Jim is the next picture. I'll let that explain itself. I don't know what to say about that one. And then this is a third picture. This is the airport on the way home. This is how most of us felt. I mean, just ready to be home. We flew in it. I think we got home at 1:30 a.m. on Wednesday. So that's little man. That was great. I mean, we hadn't even left Costa Rica yet. And he's just like, I'm done. I give it up. My parents can just drag me through the airport. Yeah, we was done. So a couple casualties while we were there. So let me bring this back. So there were four different days where we got to go and do mission work while we were there. Different parts of San Jose, which is the city that we would have flown into and been in most of the time. And then we went to a couple other places. But the first day was in Carpio. And there's a place in Carpio, which is Las Gradas. And you got to see the first picture in the video. Jim is walking down the steps. All of us had to walk down tons of steps through kind of sewage and dirt and grime. And at the very bottom of the hill where all this comes out into the river, all the trash, all the sewage stuff, there's a place where we've built a building for kids to come and worship and sing and play games and just really have a fun time there. So we got to do some VBS stuff there and some mission work there. So here's what I'm going to do. That's kind of the preface. And then for people in this group, ladies, you can turn those two mics on. Las Gradas was our first day. Does anybody want to share kind of, hey, this was a big thing that I learned that day, maybe during the VBS time, maybe while we were upstairs, or some of the carpentry where I didn't say that right. Some of the sod that Howie did. So landscaping stuff. So I'll turn it over to you guys. Who wants to share first about day one? Yeah. Awesome.
Okay. All right, guys. Okay. So Las Gradas broke my heart, like literally, because it was just, I had always heard about missions by trash and, you know, refuge places. It was just beyond belief how sad it was. And they were actually happy to be there because it was better than Nicaragua where they had been. And the only way I could get over the grief that I felt for them was to focus on what God was doing there, because it was amazing. And if you think of where they came from and where they're going, and then there was one girl I just fell in love with because she was leading and helping with everything, and she was just beautiful. So it gave me so much hope for her future. And I'm just going to keep praying and just encourage you, if you support missions, I'm a math teacher, so an amazing place to put your money. Like, the returns will be amazing. So just encourage you on that.
Absolutely. Just one quick thing I'll say about the children there that impressed me so much is that they were dressed well, and their hair was braided or fixed beautifully, and just the smiles they had on their faces. I think they were just so grateful to have the food. Some of them, we fed them, and they took a couple bites of their sandwiches and then wrapped them up to take them home, probably for someone else. So it was just precious, and just to see all that God is doing in the midst of the darkness there.
That first day was so amazing because we pretty much got set up the night before, and it was right in to serving, and just going down that hill and just smelling the sewer and just seeing those kids with smiles on their faces and just dressed, hair combed, they were ready to receive, and they were just so excited to be part of it. And it blew my mind, and just to see the conditions that they were living in right there beside the river, it's amazing.
Chris, here, come this way with the mic. Yeah, here you go.
Is this on? Okay, dope. there was two things, like, when we first got there, that was, like, very, I don't know, shocking to me. First thing was, like, how easy it was to make, like, relationship with the kids when, like, you didn't even speak the same language, you know? So it was, like, it shows the power of God's love, you know, it transcends borders and language and everything. That shocked me initially. I had really fun time playing with the kids, so did, you know, all of us. I don't know. Yeah, I broke their ankles in tag, whatever. And then next thing was, like, that first day, I was like surprised, and like, you know, we came there to like give them things and give them hope, but like the amount that we gave to them, it was like reciprocated. You know, they gave to us, like they were like, you know, in the worst conditions and everything, and they had so much hope, and they were so joyful, and you know, it's not like I wasn't exhausted giving to them, like they were, you know, making me feel better and everything like that. It was a reciprocal thing, which I just didn't expect.
I can go. I'm ready.
Don't drop the mic.
All right. So it was honestly really a really eye-opening experience because there was like, oh, am I good now? You guys hear me? All right. All right. So like that was like the first like culture shock when we got there because like it was disgusting. And I mean, after the first week of being there, the boys' room was probably just as bad. But
just to preface that, I was in with the high school boys all 5 days, and it smelled smelled worse than when we were other places. Yeah.
But anyways, it was just really amazing to like see how kind they were. Like you go there and you think, I can't do anything. I'm like a high school student. Like, what can I offer these kids? And honestly, you're just like a light to their world because you're like nothing they've ever seen before, you know, and you get to like hang out with them just as if you were friends, and it's probably heartwarming to them to see that other people around the world care for them, you know.
I've been able to be there before, and last time I was there in Las Gradas, they had the cage up, which is enclosed, which protects the kids because it's quite the interesting area. And even people in Greta was saying, even people in San Jose, you know, we don't venture out into all the different places that we live. This would be a culture shock to a lot of people who actually live there, not just to us. And last time I was there, it was just the fence, it was the dirt floor, and there was nothing above. You saw the room up above where we got to do the kids and give the, you know, give the food and things like that. And so to see what our church has been able to do, they have a cement floor down below. They now have this room above. They have a little bathroom in there. They have a little kitchen. They're able to do so much more, and it's because you guys give. And that's going to be a reoccurring theme throughout this, that the things that we've been able to do as a church, you've been able to do because you give, and so you are a part of this. So don't ever think that, oh, we went, we got the experience. You went with us. You give, you went with us, because the things that we get to see and do, you're a part of. So I want you to grasp that and take ownership of it too with us.
I'll do just a little bit more on that area. So the area we were in, the Carpio and Las Gradas area, is really the most impoverished part of Costa Rica. And Jim had mentioned this, but this is the area where 90% of the kids that live there are sexually abused in some capacity. 90% of those kids, so 90% of the kids that we had, that we were feeding, and we were doing VBS, and we did a, these guys all did a skit, and Josh Shores over here was Goliath, he came stomping out. I mean, the joy that these guys talked about, these kids go home and live in that type of atmosphere. And to see them, I think Stacy maybe had mentioned this, to see a kid, they got a plate. With their plate, they had a sandwich, and they had like a mixture of chips. Some of them would just eat the chips, drink whatever drink that we had, and then they would wrap their sandwich up to take it home. And that was that kid's only meal for that day, and they would still take it home to feed their family. We saw some kids cut their sandwich in half, eat half, take the rest home to their family that day. So that's the world that they live in. That's really the gratitude that they have of being able to go home and take that and be able to smile and play. And the whole time they're living in this impoverished area and sexual abuse and all the things that are happening. So it really wasn't an eye-opening, shocking moment for all of us as we kind of ventured down this really big hill. And then we got to see the kids and kind of learn about just kind of what was going on with them. So
one thing real quick that I want to make sure that you understand, through a memorial gift, we literally are building the nicest building in Las Gradas. Yeah. I mean, I am not kidding. It is a beautiful building, and the whole purpose of this building is counseling for little kids. And that, you know, I've been going to Costa Rica for a long time, and it's like, God, what can we do? And because we go back over and over and over again, we've developed strong ties and relationships. And I want you to think in your head that little kids are having a hard time, but we've also have provided for them a way to deal with life. I mean, when you have a 10 by 10 room and you have eight people living in that room, things can get bad. And it's such a slum, but I don't look at the slum. I look at how can we be an answer of hope to them. And so because of a memorial gift, we've given about $35,000 to build this building. And there's probably another couple thousand left to complete it. They're going to buy special little plush toys that help kids, you know, talk and to be part of that. And this is not a sales pitch. But the truth is, in America, we have all the gospel you could ever imagine. And we still don't follow. In another country, none of these kids said, oh, no, I'm gluten-free. Oh, no, I don't like that type of chip. Oh, no, that sandwich, cut the crust off. I mean, they were thrilled. And I'm just telling you, you have made a difference if you've been part of this. And if you're newer to Hope Church, you're like, man, I'd like to be part of this. It's easy to do. And but I'm thankful that it's not just what we've seen, it's what we've done over years that really has mattered. Thanks, Zach.
Yeah. And I know, Howie, do you want to share about the sod, or do you want me to share about, you know what? Yeah, I want you to.
He's a landscaping.
So this is in front
star.
Of the counseling center that's being built. Some of the ladies started on it, and then Howie and the guys got to do some of the landscaping. I'll let you share about that.
I think the landscaping, you know, it was great to make things look better, but I will share on one thing that was very special to me. It was as we were leaving, we were walking out, people had talked about the 10 by 10 shacks, and you could see the little kids peering out of the shacks with their backpacks, and they were just waving and how grateful they were, you know, as we were leaving. You know, the sod and all was great. It was great to see everybody just pitch in and help as a team effort to be able to clean up this area and, you know, turn it to grass within a few hours. That was great. You know, I think in the long run, the center is going to be really important to the community. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, as you walked into the counseling center before we were able to work on it, there was metal, there was chunks of, I mean, it looked like a construction center, just trying to get into the place. So we were able, a lot of these guys were able to clean all that out, to lay new sod, so it's a pretty place to walk into instead of walking through dirt and mud and just rocks and metal and all the stuff that was there before. And I will say this about Howie, and I think this is so cool, and for you guys, you know, for him, he's done a lot of different either construction, landscaping, whatever it may be throughout his life, and God took that specific ability. I mean, when I swing a hammer, I get hurt immediately, so I spent less time with the landscaping group because of that, but for him, he has that training, he has that knowledge, and he was able to go there and immediately apply it. And so for some, you're like, well, I don't know what I can do. Well, what gift do you have right now? What thing has God made you good at, and how can you use that for his kingdom? Because we got to witness that with him, and all these boys were just, he was telling them where to go, directing, managing, boom, it was done. And just know that you have something that God can use for his kingdom. It may be landscaping. It may be sewing. I mean, we talked about some of the sewing stuff. I mean, lots of different things. We got to lead VBS. We got to sing. All these things. But just want you to know that. Okay, I'm going to roll us into day two. Kind of get us rolling. Day two, we went to Tarasis. And that was an old drug house, correct, that had kind of burnt down and stuff. And it is now
Next door
was? Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. It's a brand new building. It's really pretty place for the kids to come and play. There was kind of a youth group room upstairs, which was cool for our group. Our group went upstairs and like, man, we wish we had this. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. But that made me feel good about our room, right? And we got to do VBS there. We got to meet Enrique, which is a missionary there doing some work. And then we got to do a prayer walk through that city. And just praying for different people, different areas. And again, just like Las Gratas says, we were walking through the streets, you would just see this kid come sprinting down the street with a little colorful bag on their back. and you knew that they had been at the children's service that morning. So that was kind of cool. So I'll kind of turn this over with Tarasas, with Enrique, with that building, and maybe some of the prayer walk. Does anybody want to just kind of share on that time? Josh? Yeah, go ahead.
That was such an amazing day. Those kids, when we went on the prayer walk, I was praying for more than one thing, because Walt happened to fall asleep in my arms at the beginning of a giant mountainside going up the hill on this walk. And so I was praying for God to give me strength. But
He's like 4.5 years old, and he's just carrying around like this. The whole
city. Yeah. Dead weight, yeah. But it was so amazing just to see the joy. People would peer out of the storefronts and their houses and just smile at us, and most of them were smiles, but it was just awesome to see their joy, and can't get over that. And at the very top was pretty much a trash dump, but we were able to pray over the soccer field and pray there's a lot of witchcraft there too, and just pray that God on that hill, on those hillsides, that his kingdom would be built there.
I'll mention the witchcraft real quick. I know that they had mentioned, and I don't remember specifically which city, but at home, they were literally, like, by their parents, they were taught different things, spells and witchcraft and all this stuff. Like, they learned that at home. That was a normal thing for them to learn at home. So this was very much a thing that we were praying against, something we were with each other going against, the kind of this movement of evil that was there. So
that was probably the most powerful thing for me that day, was walking through the city streets and praying and hearing our leaders there, our guides, tell us that the witchcraft community wakes up at 3 a.m. every day to pray against Christianity there. And it was profound to me. It solidified my faith that God already won. So the evil that's there is short-lived. And I had, it got under my skin for a split second where there was a little fear. And then I remembered God spoke clearly that he's already won. The victory is his. This is just temporary. This is not the end of the story. And so to be able to pray with conviction and power in the streets and just shine the light of the Holy Spirit in that area, and you can see the resistance. I could feel it. I could see. And so like Josh said, a lot of people were smiling, but there were some that were very clear. They were not interested, and we were not welcome. But to be able to just pray in faith anyway was just so powerful. And that's something we can do continually here. I mean, they get up at 3 a.m. I'm going to get up at 3 a.m. and I'm just going to declare the victory of Jesus.
Your husband looked at you.
He's going to get up with me.
He might actually be up that early. Howie had a bedtime every night. Yep. Every night Howie was like, 8 o'clock, I'm out. And he's gone. He just disappears. I mean, he was going to bed and he was done with everybody. So maybe he'd be up at 3 o'clock with you. But yeah, that was just being able to, we got to walk through the city that day and do that. And I know one, right at the top of the hill, there was an Assembly of God church, and probably within 20 feet of the steps and the door, the entrance to the church, there was just a dump of trash, just piles and piles of trash within just feet of that church. And that's just very normal for them to have that on the side of the street and you know, close to their buildings. Does anyone else want to mention anything? Does anyone talk about here? Go ahead. Either way, yeah, we got mics on both sides.
All right. Okay. So when we were, let me think about how I'm gonna say this. Okay. So when we first walked into the building, it was such a nice facility. The bathrooms were nicer than the bathrooms at our house.
Bro.
So like we were.
That's no surprise.
Okay. That's true. But we were caught completely off guard, because the previous day we had been in a pretty rough area, and walking into that facility and seeing all these kids in this wonderful place that were just it was awesome because they were all smiling. They were all happy. We had crafts and stuff. And even though it was just a little cross necklace with some beads, it meant the world to them. And helping them, even though there's that language barrier, it still made all the difference to them. And we were able to communicate. My brain's a little slow today. We were able to help them. And I think I made some friendships here and there, too, because some of the kids appreciated our help so much.
You guys played pool with a teenager there, right?
Yeah, there was a pool table there. We don't have a pool table at our
house. In the youth room. Okay, I get it. There's a pool table in the youth room. Anybody wants to donate a pool table? My students are expecting that now.
Let me just say, that building is beautiful.
Yeah.
But I was there when the man who said, I have a dream for this, his hands on his face, weeping for the community, and there were bullet holes in the front of the little shack that was there. And I thought, you guys are nuts. Yeah. And when we first started there, we didn't build that building. We've helped with a lot of maintenance and things. There's a church in Nebraska that built it. But I remember being there, and the friend that we were there with, Gretel, they put a hit on her life because she was infecting with the gospel all of the drug stuff. I remember being there and a guy was wielding a machete and I was thinking, this is not good. And for them to see what the power of transforming a city can actually be, that's the power of Christ when you really know Christ and take big steps.
Amen. I'm going to go to day three. On day three is the day that we actually got to go to an open Bible church there and lead the whole service, which was really cool. Got to do worship with them. Pastor Jim got to share that day and do the sermon. And all of that is done, at least on his end, during the sermon, it's done through interpretation. So he says a sentence and then they say, and they're back and forth. So there's a little bit of pausing. But the worship team, everything was in Spanish. These ladies all sang in Spanish that day and learned the words and were ready to go while we were there. So that was really most of what that day entailed on the mission side of things, was being at church. And I would like you guys to share. I would love for you to share your story, because I think that's really cool with that church.
Yeah, it was really a blessing for us to be able to go to La Vida Nueva. It's a sister open Bible church in San Jose. And Aaron and I went to Costa Rica for the first time in 2006, before we had kids. And we served at, it wasn't in the same location, but it was the church pastored by these same pastors, Pastor Carlos and Katya. And we did a lot of things within that church. We did kids clubs. We ran a service. We did some projects there, painting and upkeep and things like that. The last day that we were there, there was a prayer service, and some of their congregation actually prayed over us and over the children that we would have. And so for us to be able to go back so many years later, have our children with us, have our oldest son and daughter participating in worship team and serving and ministering with us, I wanted to share with them and let them know how grateful we were for their prayers. I really felt like there was prophetic words spoken over us. And we had a little bit of trouble having kids. And so it was really special to be able to go back. They remembered us, from that many years ago. And it was really cool just to be able to say, thank you for your faithful prayers. And we're grateful that we have these kids now and that they can be part of our ministry and have their own ministry. So that was really cool.
Anybody else want to share about the church service, maybe the prayer time that we had during or after the service?
All right. So I think it was a little bit closer to the end, but more halfway in the service, one of the pastors, I don't remember which one it was, brought us all up on the stage to pray for these people. And keep in mind, they may not understand our language completely, so they basically, we were all praying for them. Even us teenagers were praying, and it meant so much to them. We had people in tears, and they couldn't even understand what we're saying. It made such a difference for them just to be there and have us praying over them, giving them strength, and it was a really, really cool experience.
would say it's even a little, it's super cool to know, I mean, not to know, you weren't exactly sure, but yeah, some of them did speak English. So as you prayed, they didn't know what you were saying, but God was still moving that prayer in their lives and moving them. And people are just completely in tears and their bodies kind of shaking and they don't know what words you're saying, but they do know that you're reaching out to the Lord on their behalf. And so that was super cool. A couple people right after would just say, thank you. And I was like, wait. And they're like, yeah, we speak English. And I was like, okay. You knew what I said the whole time. That's fine. But that was really, it was really powerful just to share. And I would say for me, you know, I became a Christian when I was 15 years old in high school. That was probably the most powerful prayer moment I've ever been a part of. Just the laying on of hands and praying for spiritual and mental and physical health. And really, a sentence I kept using is that I speak Jesus over these people. I felt like the Lord kept giving me that. And absolutely the most powerful prayer moment I've ever been a part of and I just got to see. So were you going to share something, Lori?
So that moment was completely humbling for me too. We came as a team, they called us up and they prayed over us as a team, but then to ask us to pray for members of the congregation was just completely, it wrecked me. It totally wrecked me. You know, they're coming to us as individuals, up to each one of us, and just, you know, music is playing and we're just quietly praying over people and laying hands on them as they come up, and it trashed me. I was a mess, but it was so powerful. It didn't matter that we couldn't speak the same language because Jesus speaks all of our languages.
It was a miracle also because Pastor Jim preached the shortest sermon he'd ever preached.
Come on. Come on!
In Spanish. What's
the sermon, Jim?
In Spanish.
Spanish.
I did preach in Spanish. I said, hallelujah, gloria a Dios, amen.
I think that's four words, so that was good. Yeah, it was good. They all cheered and tried to go to lunch, and he told them to wait, so we had to stay. Yeah. So that was day three. We got to be a part of the church service and spend a lot of time at them. I mean, the service was about maybe a little over 2 hours, so we were there for a while. We had practice that morning with the band, and so we spent a lot of time with them that day. And then day four, we got to drive a lot, kind of up into the mountains away from San Jose into a different part of the country. And we also got to go to refuge number two, which is where Christian and Jessica, some of you know those names, missionaries that we support. And that's where the group of kind of the gang guys, that's what we've referred to them as, these guys that have come off the streets, out of the gang life. And now they live there, and they're being rehabilitated there. And some of the women that have either been abused or just come from tough situations, and now they're living with Jessica. So that was day four. Any of you guys want to share just about either the refuge? We also did a kids service there. And I will say, I don't know that I mentioned this while we were there. There was not a single male that brought kids to the kids service. I don't know if any of you recognize that. It was only moms or sisters or aunts, but there was zero guys that brought the kids, and there was a lot of kids at that kids' service. Really full room, very attentive, but I thought I'd just mention that. But did any of you want to share on the refuge, maybe hearing? I know Chris probably want. You can finally pass your mic. You can pass your mic down. There you go.
I don't know. I just thought that was, like, the best group of kids that we had, because, like, I don't know. They were super invested, because, like, no one visits them. Like, I mean, he said we drove a lot, but, like, I don't know if that describes it enough. Like, we were, like, in the middle of nowhere, like, in the jungle. I woke up to monkeys, like, and then I was like, okay, this is great. But it's, like, I don't know. It's crazy because there's just not a lot of, like, hope in that area, and it's, like, completely deserted from everything. I remember we went there. We went to, a farm with, like, one of the missionaries, and they were explaining how, like, the people there, since there's just, like, nothing around them, they all, like, pretty much follow the same pattern, get, like, you know, pregnant early, and then, like, since there's no jobs, they can start selling drugs. So it was not a lot of hope there, and plus the kids, like, they didn't have a lot of food because and most of their parents, like, if they did have a job, they were fishermen, and they weren't allowed to fish then. So they're all super hungry, but it was just so great to provide them hope, like I said, because, you know, and they were obviously enjoying it. I don't know. They died laughing at the skit. I've never heard anything like that. It was great. But yeah, I also appreciated the testimonies from the gang guys. You know, it was just crazy how, like, you know, God can, you think you're going one way and God can bring you another. Like this one dude, he was professional soccer player, which, you know, in Costa Rica, that's like a huge thing. Well, it's a huge thing here, but even bigger thing there. But then, you know, he fell into drugs and everything like that. But eventually, you know, he was restored by God and he was living in that refuge. And, you know, it's just better that he's with God now. Yeah.
That's awesome. Two people. Josh, do you mind sharing about the couple we met at the farm? I don't recall their names. You told me their names this morning. Lorena?
It was Howard, right?
Howard? Do you want to share just a little bit about them and the farm there? And we got to see, that's where there were like chickens and monkeys in the tree. Chickens weren't in the trees with the monkeys, by the way, but
there's a rooster too.
Chickens on the ground, monkeys in the trees. Do you want to share just a little bit about us getting to kind of hang with them and see the property there?
Yeah. During that day, we went out to this ranch area, and part of that land was going to be their house eventually, and it was some people with Christ for the City, Howard and Lorena, and we mostly just called her Laura, but yes, and so they were really strong in praying for that place. And Howard was big on construction, so he pretty much came out with his work clothes on. But they kind of toured us through that ranch. And during that time, I was trying to keep my son Walt occupied because there was howler monkeys in the trees, and he was, you know, following them all over pretty much. And in the middle of that, I was trying to talk to Howard because that land was kind of in the crook of two hills, and it overlooked the coast, overlooked the beach and the ocean at Punta Arenas. And it was just amazing to see their faith, that they trusted God to, one, provide this land, and two, everything that was on it, that they had just pieced it together by what God had provided. And they had a bunch of opportunities as far as things to do because it was so rural. Howard was trying to, with the help of these two younger guys, they were going to fix motorcycles. So like kind of give to the community in that way. And then they also, one of them was a veterinarian guy, and he was, his big focus was the animals, all the different large animals like horses and that, and smaller animals too. And so they had pretty much a kind of a ranch, pretty rough ranch out there. But they had a lot of faith, and they had donated a certain amount of their land to Christ for the City, and they're planning, I believe, to build another building or another campus location out there. But it was, we prayed for that at that time too. And we also went to a little village right nearby, and the boys played soccer, and we kind of sang some worship in Spanish, and it was pretty well received.
Yeah. Aaron, are you gonna?
Yeah. Just to add on to that, you know, part of these trips for me, I've been able to go to a couple different places, Costa Rica a couple times. And for me, it's always a big challenge on my faith. You know, as Pastor Jim mentioned, when he first went to Terrazas and they saw this building, they had a facility. Next to it was a drug house that was burned out, bullet holes. And you're like, what's your plan? We looked at Las Gradas, and they wanted to build there. And we were able to see the land where they picked out the spot to put this counseling center. And for me, I'm not much into construction, so I don't have a vision for it.
Amen.
And I'm like, how are you going to turn this into a counseling center? And we go to this farm area, and this family saying, we want to donate this land so we can use it to give an opportunity for this small town that's there, for them to learn a craft, to provide a service. Because as Chris mentioned, in the small town, if they graduate school, there's no opportunity. There's nothing there. They don't have enough money to go into a major town every day to find a job. So there's no hope. They turn to drugs. They do different things, drug dealing, different stuff. And so this family has a vision from God to say, I'm going to donate this land to CFCI, put a building, give them a craft, give them hope. And with Terrassus, it is an awesome building. It's an awesome facility, as Jim mentioned. This is a place for kids who don't know what's possible to come to a nice facility to, yeah, there's a great game room, but for them, they also find hope. Gosh, I'm blanking on his name. Enrique, who helped lead that, he has the opportunity to reach these kids for Christ. It's a safe place for these kids to come. And that's what's been a great thing to see all these missionaries, to see their faith, to see what God's put in their plan, and they act upon it. And for us, it's an opportunity to come alongside. We're not able to go there and be with them all the time, but we have some resources to help and be a small part of what they're doing. And that's what's been great here for us. A lot of us, we kind of hear about it, but for us to be there, there's a part to be a part of it and see and create relationship. But that's a big thing for people in Costa Rica, is a relationship building. For us to go with Gretel, to be with Jessica, to meet with Christian, to pray with them, it's a big deal. It's not just a check that's being sent, which they greatly appreciate, but it's also the relationship that we're building with those people. And for those others to see, when you go to Costa Rica, it's, a lot of people say, why are you going to Costa Rica and help? It's paradise, right? We talked about it. It's paradise. What help do they need? The area that we talked about, Las Gradas, a lot of the people there are from Nicaragua. I had one of my kids ask, why did they choose to be here? I mean, a lot of times they don't have a choice, but all those people, they left a situation that was far worse, right? And to see the area that they're in now, they left something that's far worse to at least have some kind of hope to continue living. And so in that area, there's not government assistance. There's not anyone helping them out. What we're doing with what you're part of, what CFCI is doing, is providing for that area. And it's also what's been done in Las Gradas, Terrassas, all that. It's actually given a good swift kick to the behind of the government, because they've seen what the church has done, and they kind of feel like, oh man, we should do something too. So they've also built facilities there as well, a nice school. So that's triggered what you've been a part of, what CFCI has been a part of, what the church has been a part of, has also increased what that local government's been doing as well.
Let me mention something real quick about Refuge 2. And the little context, there's guys there who, one guy shared his testimony about how he's murdered people and just got out of prison 4 years ago and has accepted Christ. But we've provided mattresses so they have somewhere to sleep. Right now, because of Hope Church, they're putting two bathrooms in. But just a little context, I was talking to Christian, and earlier that day he had a phone call from a family that he serves. He's a pastor, and he said they couldn't find their son. And not like he was a great kid, but you're talking a major drug area, and then they found their son, and he said they cut him, and I have to do his funeral. I'm like, well, how'd they cut him? He says, no. And this is graphic, but they cut him into pieces. And so Christian's going to do that funeral, but he also went to the gang, and they're very nervous about what happened, and I've been part of these. They're called gang camps. Christian is a very bold leader, and he went right to that gang, and he went to the gang that killed him, and they're going to do a gang camp where, and I've watched people cry for 4 hours straight because of things that they have done. And, that's a crazy thing. One other thing I'll say, and I know we got to wrap this up, but we had the guys, and they're all part of gangs. They got to get out of San Jose because what they've done is they've been, hitmen, drug dealers and that, and they have to move, but they have nothing. Literally, and we brought them, I gave them almost every shirt I had when I was there because they come with nothing. But they're teaching them trades. They're doing a lot of good things. But I had those guys share with our young people what went wrong. What choice did they make that led them in this way. And every one of them, it was one drink, it was this girl, it was this thing. Then we asked them, how many of you grew up in church? Half of them did. And now they're at a camp being rehabilitated because of choices that they made. And again, our impact there, you know, because of your giving, guys literally can take a real shower. And it's just so important. Here's one thing that the Lord spoke to me. I said, God, what can I do? What can I do? And he said, Jim, you have a fly rod that you really like. And I think it's time for you to sell that and give this money. Now, you say, well, Jim, you just lost a reward in heaven. I don't care about rewards in heaven. My wife has so many, I just need to get through the gate and I'm fine living off of her goodness. But here's the thing. I'm never going to ask you to sacrifice. And if any of you know, I love to fly fish and I love my fly fishing gear. But I'm never going to ask you to do something I'm not willing to do. And I'm just telling you, all of our lives were touched. It's so hard to convey to you without just being super boring for a long time. But I mean, this has been a big deal. And it's been a big deal because of all of us being consistent and persistent. And so we appreciate you. I appreciate all the group that went. And what a blessing you have been, and how you represented Hope Church was huge. And we appreciate that very much. Zach, you want to kind of wrap things up for us?
Yeah, I'm just going to say a couple things, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Jim to kind of pray for the group. And then after that, during that time, the band can come up. We're going to do one more song that kind of ties into what we have talked about, and just God's power, and Kelsey will kind of mention that a little bit. But I would say just a couple things. Number one, if you're wanting to get involved in something like this, I think Pastor Jim goes to Costa Rica like 3 times a year. So for mission trips, and the church goes. So next year, you know, as we start to have these conversations, just know it's going to be mentioned from stage. You're ready to go. You're ready to hop in and be a part of these trips. Giving-wise, if you are someone that says, hey, I want to give specifically to Costa Rica, when you donate through PushPay, which is the website of the company that we use for giving, you can change the funds from, you know, tithing to youth stuff or whatever, but there's one in there that says missions, and you can type in the little memo box, Costa Rica, or, you know, something like that. But if you're wanting to say, hey, I want to give back to these people, give to these missionaries, those are ways that you can do that. Those are kind of some next steps. And then I would also say kind of a third thing is spend some time praying. What can you do here and right now? You know, we don't get to go to Costa Rica every week and do a mission trip and have our lives change. How do we use the gifts that God's given us right now to change your family, your workplace, your schools, the grocery store you go to, the gym that you're a part of, whatever that looks like? How can you move right here and right now? So that's what I would say. It was a blessing to be with you guys. I had fun because some of my youth group got to go. So I got to be, I was called the parent all week. The parents took the week off and I got to watch their kids. That's what I kept being told. They asked if I'd go on vacation with them and they could pay me to be a babysitter while they, you know, so. Well, cool. Will you pray for us? And then what we will do when Pastor Jim's done praying, if you guys will fold up your chairs and you can just set them on the sides here. Band, you can kind of start heading, you guys can actually head up here if you're in the band. And then Kelsey will kind of mention just a quick little thing on the last song and we'll sing and then we'll be dismissed. Cool? Yeah.
Father, thank you again for allowing us to be a blessing. And we're not proud. We are born in a country that we have an abundance. And the only difference between us and the beautiful people in Costa Rica is where we're born. And Lord, I pray that we would continue to be blessed and have it in our forefront right away that we can be a blessing. Lord, give us extra, not for us, but that we can give. And God, what an honor for everyone to go. And thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've provided and protected. And we pray for our friends in Costa Rica right now. You would continue to use them, continue to bless them, continue, Lord, to allow them to present the truth of knowing Jesus Christ. Thank you. What an honor again it is. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.